Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We have talked a lot about Major League Baseball and its attempts. Some of them have been less well-received than others to do these checks, these pitching checks for foreign substances, and to get a little perspective on that and to talk some other things from around the majors, let's go to our friend Jerry Hairston Jr., World Series champion, longtime major leaguer, Dodgers analyst, pretty, as I understand it, darn good golfer. Jerry, what's up, dude?
Bill, what's going on? How you doing?
Good, man. So let's just start here. You played for a long time. You're still around the game a lot. You know a lot of guys. You have a perspective that is based on an actual career in baseball. What do you make of these substance checks that baseball has implemented?
Well, I understand what they're trying to do and why they're doing it. I think they need to go about it a different way. I don't like the pitchers being checked every time they come off the mound, especially the relievers, in front of everybody. It seems like they're going through a TSA screening right at the third or first baseline. I think they need to find a better way to do it. I do not like the fact that managers can ask the umpires to go check that individual pitcher in the middle of an inning. We saw it happen in Philadelphia with Max Scherzer and Joe Girardi. That needs to stop because we're starting to make a mockery of it. They're going to have to make changes. I mean, it was embarrassing the last couple nights. Hopefully, down the road, instead of checking every pitcher, you have to have visual evidence or probable cause to go check that pitcher. You know, so you just can't just check everybody. So if you feel like something's happening, if there's a pitcher on the mound, man, that ball's moving a different way. His spin rate, because now they can check it, you know, in real time. The spin rate's ridiculous. I want him checked. Then you can go check that that pitcher one time. But you do it every single time a pitcher enters the game, a starting pitcher gets checked multiple times. They need to get rid of that. And then also, Trevor Bauer made some incredible points last week. We had him on our pregame show. They need to have a machine, you know, in every dugout or every clubhouse, and they can do this and put the sticky stuff that allows the baseball to have some type of tackiness to it, so they can get a grip on the ball. We all want that. Position players want pitchers to have some type of substance to get a grip on the baseball. You know, they need to have something universal, and then they come out of the machine and they go right to the bat boy. And then right to the umpire, and then they could use that ball. They need to do that, make it universal.
Jerry Hairston Jr. here on the show. Jerry, I want to circle back to Scherzer a little bit. Just give us an idea, because I don't know the answer. Some sports are very rhythm-based, and if you throw people off their rhythm, it's significant. In other sports, it doesn't matter. If you're a starting pitcher, if you're just a pitcher, and you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden you have to take a break, walk off the mound, you get angry, you're getting checked, how much of an impact, if at all, does that have on potential performance once you get done with the circus?
I mean, it can have a big impact. You know, I remember facing a guy like a Mark Burley back in the day. When Mark Burley, you know, he loved to get it and throw it, and you wanted to disrupt his rhythm a little bit, you know, step out of the batter's box, make him slow down, because if he didn't slow down, he'd make you rush as a hitter, and you get weak ground balls, strikeouts, and pop-ups. You know, on the flip side, you know, Max Scherzer was rolling. I think he had already been checked twice. And here's what I didn't like about it. I believe there's runners on first and third, one out. And he was in the middle of the inning, grinding, trying to get out of the inning. And then I think Joe asked the umpire for the third time for him to get checked. I think that was the biggest issue. It wasn't him coming off after the inning. It was in the middle of the inning trying to get out of that jam. And listen, Joe Girardi, I always loved Joe. Joe was a great, he's still a great manager. He was a great manager with us in 09 with the Yankees. Very intelligent. And he was in with, he was within the rules to ask the umpire for that pitcher to get checked. So, you know, you can say, hey, Joe, you know, he didn't do technically anything wrong, but he was in within the rules. But again, you know, here we go again. This is what has happened the last, you know, couple of days because Major League Baseball decided to implement this in the middle of the season. Hopefully they get this thing ironed out because you cannot have pitchers being checked throughout the game in front of everybody, in front of 50,000 fans. You know, hopefully they find a better way to do it.
You don't think it's great for Major League Baseball to have guys taking their pants off in front of the fans?
No, not at all. I don't think it's a good thing. This is a family show. It's the show, but it's a family
no,
show.
No, man. I take my kids to games. Put your pants back on.
Yeah, put your pants back on is right.
Jerry Harrison Jr. on the show. Jerry, what? So I've heard different answers to this question, so I want to ask you. If a pitcher is using a substance that is beyond, right, whatever an agreed-upon substance would be, that goes beyond the ability to get their hands on it and not accidentally put a ball in somebody's rib cage, how much advantage is there? I mean, is there a... is there an advantage that is on par with PEDs for you if there's, you know, this bear tack or whatever it is, if a guy can use anything on the face of the earth that he wants?
Well, here's the thing. So this sticky tack, what I've heard from some players, this has been going on the last 3 or 4 years. I've been out of the game 8 years now. So it didn't exist when I was playing. Now, did some pitchers back in the day like to use pine tar and rosin and a little bit of sunscreen? Yes. And guess what? As hitters, we didn't really care. We prefer the guy have a grip on the baseball because when you have a grip on the baseball, when he throws a slider, if he throws a curveball, it'll slide the way it's supposed to. It'll curve the way it's supposed to. Now, if he was using some type of substance to make it slick, then that's an advantage. You know, that's called a spinner, right? The ball will dance on you and it'll do some crazy things as it's coming, you know, to the plate. And we don't want that as a hitter. You know, we don't want it to do funny things. It's kind of like a 92 or 93 mile an hour knuckleball. You know, knuckleball is very inconsistent. You don't know what it's going to do when it dances on you. So that's why as hitters, we always preferred them to have a little bit of rosin, a little bit of pine tar to get a grip on the baseball. So when we see it out of the hand, it will do exactly what it's supposed to do.
Jerry, the San Francisco Giants are 48-26. The Dodgers are 4 games behind them, and the Dodgers would lead every division of baseball other than their own with that record. I think other than one, right? I mean, it's not like they're not playing well. And by the way, Padres as well, who won last night. Are the Giants this good? I mean, what is happening in San Francisco?
Yes. I mean, you know, they're this good. They're playing good baseball, man. They're playing together. For the most part, they've avoided, you know, serious injuries. I know the Dodgers have been just crushed with injuries to star players. Corey Seager's still out. We just got Cody Bellinger back last night. Max Muncy back a couple nights ago. Mookie Betts has been plagued with a little bit of injury with his back, with his lead shoulder, his left shoulder. And then he missed a couple games with flu-like symptoms. So, you know, but again, I'm saying that those are just facts. But the Giants are playing good baseball. They're getting good starting pitching. They're getting timely hitting, and they believe. When you do that, and the veteran guys they have on their ball club with Crawford, Buster Posey, Belt, those guys know how to win, man. So it's no surprise, you know, if they stay healthy, they're for real. The Dodgers, you know, they've been kind of up and down, you know, with the injuries, and they haven't really played great. Even though they're in the thick of things, you know, I applaud them. They have not played great baseball. They've gotten crushed with injuries. The pitching has been pretty good for the most part, but they haven't played their best defensively, yet they're still in it. And I think that's a great sign. The Padres are a good team, man. They remind me of a 90s team, man. They steal bases. They run the bases extremely well. They're very athletic. You know, I know a lot of scouts always tell me, man, you know, we need to get more athletes in the game of baseball. You know, well, I saw a couple athletes with the Padres that made a difference in the series. Tatis Jr. is as good as it gets athletically. Pham is a really good athlete. Manny Machado is as good as it gets at third base. So they are a good team. They played great this weekend, and they swept the Dodgers. You know, and that's what happens. If you don't play good baseball and you play a good team and they play very well, you're going to get swept.
Dodgers analyst, long time out, former major leaguer, Jerry Harrison Jr. on the show with me, Bill Ryder, here on CBS Sports Radio. Jerry, if Brian Cashman's right-hand guy went to the Red Sox and turned them into a force, that would be a pretty big story. If back when Theo was with the Cubs, his right-hand man went to the Cardinals and turned them around, that would be a pretty big story. Farhan Zaidi was Andrew Friedman's right-hand guy. Is there any hard feelings within that Dodgers organization that a former GM of the organization is helping the Giants, not exactly the Dodgers' favorite organization, to have this kind of success?
I don't think so. I mean, that's just the nature of this beast. You know, you have success throughout your organization. You're going to have teams want guys that have helped that team be successful. You're going to want to hire them to come on board on your ball club. So, you know, Farhan knows what he's doing. Andrew knew that. And just give credit to Farhan. You know, he got in a situation where he is now running things. He's doing a really good job. But the Dodgers have always done a great job of reloading, not just on the field, but also in their front office. So the Dodgers are in great shape, and they'll continue to be in really good shape as long as they continue to draft well, sign guys, and continue to replenish that farm system. So Farhan is just doing a really good job with the Giants. And I always think, man, and Bill, you know this, we've talked a lot, it's always good for the sport when the rivalries – rivalries are competitive. You know, the Giants, Dodgers, both teams are good. That's great for baseball. Now you got the Padres. You know, that's good for baseball. Yankees, Red Sox. You know, Packers, Bears. You know, now that the Bears have a quarterback, hopefully, you know, we could be as competitive and have that rivalry, you know, be as evenly matched as possible. So it's always good for sports when the rivalries, both teams are good.
It would definitely help the Bears-Packers rivalry if Aaron Rodgers would go play for the Broncos, my man. It wouldn't hurt.
Please, I tell you what, I hope John Elway listens to this radio station, listen to you, Bill. Make it happen, John. Get Aaron Rodgers out of there. Let him come home to Denver, and hopefully he leads your franchise, the Broncos, to the promised land, at least to the Super Bowl, and the Bears can do what they need to do.
Spoken like a Drew Bears fan. Hey, I don't know that you and I have talked about Robert Manfred a lot. He's sort of a punching bag here on the show. For you know, for better or for worse, and his comments to The Athletic on this sticky situation, to me at least, were a little tone deaf and talk about how well things have gone. How would you just assess the commissioner and the commissioner's office and how they've handled this situation?
You know, I understand it is popular to go after the commissioner, Rod Manfred. Has he done some
fun.
Good things? Yes.
Yeah.
Has he done some things that you kind of scratch your head? Yes. But that's with any job. It's easy to go after him, but it's not just him. It's really the entire office, you know, trying to do things or trying to do the right thing. So I get what they're trying to do. But at the same time, you got to understand, to implement something like this in the middle of the season, that is just difficult to do. And I'm hoping they make adjustments. And there's nothing wrong with making adjustments, man. You know, you see something, okay, you know what, this didn't go as planned. Let's kind of pull it back and revisit it in the offseason. And I mentioned it earlier, and it's really from Trevor Bauer, to you know, implement something that every club has, kind of like the humidor in Colorado, have a machine where you know, you own Major League Baseball owns Rawlings, they own the baseballs, have a universal sticky substance on the baseball, and it goes right from the clubhouse right to the umpire, and that's what pitchers can use. And hopefully they'll do something like that next year, because you cannot have you cannot have guys getting strip searched in the middle of the game in front of everybody.
All right, Jerry, last one for you. I know that you're a Hoops fan. I know you're a Jordan fan, so I'm not even going to pretend to ask you whether Durant's better than Jordan, a la Steve Kerr. Let me just ask you this. Who you got? Like, who's going to be the NBA champion at the end of July?
Well, I tell you what. My two picks were the Lakers and the 76ers, and I'm an idiot. So that didn't happen.
It's a hard year. It's a hard year.
It's a tough year. You know what? How about the Hawks, man? I am really amazed what Nate McMillan has done with that club. Trae Young, you know, 6 foot, 180 pounds, dominating the NBA. He's having an incredible playoff run. And then let's go with the Suns, man. You know, Devin Booker is an absolute beast. They call him Mini Mamba. I would love to see the Suns versus the Hawks. I think it will be an entertaining finals. I know the NBA is happy that the ratings are up again, big time this year as opposed to last year. So you got some really good young talent that are fun to watch. And I will address the Kevin Durant situation. First of all, Steve Kerr didn't say Kevin Durant is better than Michael Jordan.
He more said talented. He's
probably more gifted than Michael Jordan. You know what? I agree with Steve Kerr. I love Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is a seven-footer who can pull up from three, and he's a rim protector. You know, so that makes him more gifted than Michael Jordan. Guess what? Hakeem Olajuwon was more gifted than Michael Jordan. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar probably more gifted than Michael Jordan. That doesn't mean he's better than Michael Jordan. Jordan ran a 4.3 40, had a 48-inch vertical, was a beast on defense, incredible footwork, and that's why, among other reasons, Michael Jordan's the greatest, not just greatest player to ever play the NBA, he's the greatest clutch performer in any sport. Any sport. Clutchest athlete that ever lived. That's the truth.
Dude, I love your Twitter. I love when you happen on your account to someone who's making the LeBron case. Did you? I know you got to go, but did you ever, like, what's your equivalent of the shimmy that Trey pulled? You seem like you're a pretty like polite dude. Did you ever get real cocky in a Major League Baseball game? Did you ever wink at anybody or blow a kiss or, I don't know, do a little twirly twirl after a home run?
You can't really do that in baseball because when I play, they throw something in your ear. So, now, I had some flash, I had some flair, you know, especially early on. I didn't mean anything by it, you know. And I know veteran guys, I know Roger Clemens would throw at me every once in a while, and Pedro would throw at me a couple times. They just didn't like that I had a little flair, which is, you know, kind of understandable, you know, now that I look back at it. But I tell you what, the defense, and this is from veteran basketball players that are just out of the game, the defense is really non-existent anymore. Can you imagine having Trae Young sit at the three-point arc, who's a great three-point shooter, and just sit there for like 10 seconds, shimmy, and then hit a three-pointer? That would have never happened in the 90s.
No, you get knocked down.
I mean,
you might get something in your ear. Yeah.
It's amazing. I was at the Clippers game when they beat who they beat last round? The Utah Jazz. I mean, man was wide open for three every single time he touched the ball. It's just amazing. The defense is just not there, you know. But it is what it is.
Jerry, dude, I love talking to you about baseball and sports. Thanks for being on, man.
Bill, anytime.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.